This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let me start you off with a quiz question today. I want you to name this song just by hearing its introduction. Here it is. The chorus tells us the answer straight away. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's got to be strong, and he's got to be fast, and he's got to be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the morning light. He's got to be sure, and it's got to be soon, and he's got to be larger than life. I would suppose that everyone dreams of meeting some kind of hero in their lives. I visited the Eagles basketball arena in Benwell, Newcastle, recently, and it was so lovely to see the children at the close of the game seek out their heroes, hoping to have their photographs taken with them and to collect as many autographs as possible. And the players all made time for them as these little ones zoomed in on them like moths to a flame. The children had already made their minds up from watching the game as to which players were their heroes. They didn't need it pointed out to them by anyone else. In our gospel reading today, people have already sought out John the Baptist as the hero of the moment. This honest, fiery preacher has drawn people in like a magnet from miles around, and they came confessing their sins to him. They came to hear his prophetic words and be baptized by him. But John pointed away from himself to another as the real hero, someone he had already baptized at some point in time. And when he sees Jesus passing by again, he points him out as the Lamb of God. Today, I want to explore what these words mean. The Lamb of God. Was a song called Arise, Shine, written and sung there by Graeme Kendrick. The authorities sent priests and Levites to question John the Baptist about his mission, and he told them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Jesus passed by the following day. John the Baptist pointed him out to two of his disciples, and immediately both of them rushed over to be identified with Jesus and to make themselves known to him, in much the same way as those children did at the basketball game. And from that time on, these disciples followed Jesus. Jesus is the one I chose to follow in life too. I don't need to look to any other hero when I've already met the one who is perfect for me as my Saviour, my Lord, and my friend.
I will follow him. Follow him wherever he may go. And near him I always will be. For nothing can keep me away. He is my destiny. I will follow him. Since he touched my heart, I knew there isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high it can keep me
I just love that song from the film Sister Act, I Will Follow Him. I can still see the Pope himself in that film, enjoying it all and clapping along too from the balcony at the back of the church. But shall we listen to that reading where those two disciples decide to follow Jesus? I'm reading John 1:29-42. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain upon him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Here's a group called Sounds Like Rain, singing "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine."
Blessed Assurance. born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
What was in the mind of John the Baptist when he spoke of Jesus being the Lamb of God? My first guess is that he had in mind a story from the book of Genesis where Abraham believed God was asking him to kill his only son and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham struggled long and hard over God's words to him, but was obedient, and he took the boy and wood for the sacrifice and set off to Mount Moriah to kill him there. But just as he was about to carry out what he'd been commanded, God stopped him and directed him instead to slaughter a creature caught in the thicket, in his son's place. It was a lamb. This creature was slain in place of the boy, thus saving him from death, and sin was atoned for. The symbolism of this stands in stark contrast to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, because by his death he paid the price for our sin, yours and mine. He saves us from death by offering us eternal life and pardon for our sins. Let's listen to Andrew Lloyd Webber's Pie Jesu, sung by a group called Angelus. It's made up of 6 children aged 11 to 14. It ends with the words Agnus Dei, which means Lamb of God.
Oh,
John the Baptist might also have had the words of the prophet Isaiah in his mind, who described a suffering servant who would be like a lamb for the sacrifice, who would come one day and suffer and die for our sins. He prophesied, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." The writers of the magazine Word for Today, a daily Bible study guide, Bob and Debbie Gass, had this to say about Jesus the day he was baptized by John. They said, "The day when Jesus stepped into the River Jordan, he was stepping into the fullness of God's purpose for his life. Those waters were teeming with the sins of humankind. John had baptized multitudes of converts there, their sins figuratively passing from them into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Jesus, in effect, was wading into our sin."
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Who's that yonder dressed in red? Wade in the water. Must be the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. Trouble water. Who's that yonder dressed in white? Waiting the water. Must be the children of the Israelite. Oh, God's gonna trouble the water. Waiting the water.
That was a spiritual called Wade in the Water, sung there by Eva Cassidy. It was a hymn that was often sung to warn runaway slaves to get into the water to be saved from their pursuers and their dogs. John the Baptist would also have been well aware of the tradition of the sacrifice of animals such as lambs and doves at important festivals at the temple in Jerusalem. Only perfect creatures could be offered. Animals without blemish, without broken bones. Scripture stipulated this. But once the sacrifice was over and blood flowed, the person offering could go on their way cleansed. Similarly, one without sin would one day come with the right credentials to become the perfect lamb as the sacrifice to take away our sins, because he was without sin. There's one more story from the Bible whereby the blood of a lamb is used to save God's people, the Hebrews, from death and oppression. For when the final plague, the angel of death, came to kill the firstborn in each Egyptian family, Moses told the Hebrews to smear the blood of a lamb over the doorways of each of their homes, and they were all saved when the angel of death passed over and went on its way to other homes. All Jews from that time on celebrated this rescue event as the Passover. And it's interesting to note that Jesus was taken and crucified at exactly the same time of this feast, the Passover. Quite amazing, eh?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet.
One of the most beautiful songs ever written there, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, sung by Northumbria Community. I think a lot of people believe today that Jesus' death was just one of many crucifixions carried out by Romans, and that there was nothing special about one man's death among tens of thousands of others. But when we examine prophecies like these, about 200 of them actually in Jesus' life, and the prophetic stories which all came true in one person, it seems to me like pieces of some weird and wonderful cosmic jigsaw puzzle flying in together to converge to form the perfect picture of our salvation. Someone once said that the chances of all these prophecies being fulfilled in one person are the equivalent of a wind blowing through a junkyard, bringing together every piece of metal to form a jumbo jet. It's that incredible. May I end today's programme on the Lamb of God with a blessing. May the Lord God bless you with open hearts and minds in order to understand the great mysteries of faith, that you may come to know the one who gave his life for us, that we might be saved from darkness, despair, sin and death. So to enjoy life in all its fullness, so to offer life to the world. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you his healing and his peace. Amen. Here's a hymn to close our programme today by Stuart Townend, a hymn of reflection often sung at Holy Communion, which says, "Behold, the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross." That's all we have time for today. It's goodbye from Andrew Ridgewick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
And bye from me, Sheila Hamill. Here is Behold the Lamb with Stuart Townend. Bye for now.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace. Around the table of the King,
Jesus Christ taught for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for